On the morning of September 4th, 2024, Colt Gray walked into Appalachee High School in Winder, Georgia, carrying an AR-15-style rifle his father had purchased for him. He was 14 years old. Before the day ended, four people were dead, two students, Jillian Belladino, 14, and Mason Schermerhorn, 14, and two teachers, Richard Aspinwall and Christina Arimi, and nine others were wounded. It was the deadliest school shooting in the United States that year. The gun had a history, and the history of the gun is where the trap in this story sits. Quiet and documented and devastating. A detail so specific that investigators noted it in the first hours of the case. A detail that would drive a murder conviction against a man who never pulled the trigger. His name was Colin Gray. He was 45 years old. He was Colt Gray's father. In May 2023, 16 months before the shooting, the FBI had received a tip from an online gaming platform. Someone using the platform had made statements about planning a school shooting. Investigators traced the account and interviewed Colt Gray, who was 12 at the time. Colin Gray, the father, was present for the interview. The FBI reported that Colt denied making the statements and that his father denied any knowledge of concerning behavior. The agents determined there was insufficient evidence to proceed with charges and closed the investigation. That interview and what Colin Gray said and did not say in it became central to the prosecution's case in 2025. Because what was documented by investigators at the time of the interview was that Colt Gray had in fact made statements of concern. The question of who knew what, when, and what a father with that knowledge then chose to do with a rifle he had bought his son is what the jury had to decide. Georgia prosecutors charged Colin Gray with four counts of murder, four counts of involuntary manslaughter, and additional charges of second-degree cruelty to children. The theory of the case was specific, that Gray had provided his son access to a firearm despite having knowledge of warning signs, and that this provision of access was not merely negligent but criminally reckless, constituting a level of culpability that Georgia law treats as murder. This was new legal territory. The prosecution of a parent for the murders committed by their child at a school had been attempted in other states, the Crumbly case in Michigan, in which James and Jennifer Crumbly were convicted of involuntary manslaughter after their son Ethan shot four classmates at Oxford High School in 2021. But the Georgia charges went further. Colin Gray faced murder charges, not manslaughter. The legal standard required was higher, the potential sentence more severe, and the precedent, if a conviction followed, would be more significant. The defense argued that Gray had been a responsible gun owner who did not know his son was capable of violence, that the 2023 interview had been inconclusive, and that holding a parent criminally liable for a child's act that the parent did not commit, did not plan, and did not witness was a step beyond what criminal law could or should do. The jury did not agree. The trial, held in spring 2025, produced testimony about the 2023 FBI interview, about the rifle that Gray had purchased and kept in the home, about communications between father and son in the weeks and months before the shooting, and about the specific warnings that Colin Gray had received about his son's state of mind. A school counselor testified, relatives testified. The investigation's documentation of the 2023 interview and its findings were entered into evidence. What the jury heard was a portrait of a parent who had received clear signals that his son was in crisis and had not acted on those signals in the ways that might have prevented the shooting. The specific acts the prosecution focused on, not removing the firearm from the home after the 2023 FBI interview, not securing it in a manner that made it inaccessible to his son, not seeking the mental health intervention that multiple accounts suggested Colt needed. The jury convicted Colin Gray of murder in April 2025. He was sentenced, at the time of this episode's production, to be sentenced in July 2025. The murder convictions carry mandatory life sentences in Georgia. The question that this case forces, the question that the jury answered one way, and that legal scholars, prosecutors, defense attorneys, and parents across the country have been answering differently, is the one that sits at the center of every school shooting trial that has tried to reach beyond the shooter. When does a parent's failure to prevent become criminal culpability? for the act that follows. The crumbly verdicts in Michigan said that when parents have documented knowledge of warning signs, when they have communicated with their child about violence, when they have provided the means, their failure to act is manslaughter. The Gray verdict in Georgia said something more. It said that this, under these specific facts, the FBI interview, the documented warning signs, the gun in the home constitutes murder. The legal difference is the mental state. Involuntary manslaughter in most jurisdictions requires gross negligence, a failure to recognize a risk that a reasonable person would have recognized. Murder charges of the kind filed against Gray require a higher level, a conscious disregard of a known risk, a recklessness so severe that the law treats its consequences as intentional. The jury found that Gray met that standard. The implications of the Gray conviction are still being worked through in courtrooms and law schools and policy discussions across the country. Prosecutors in states where similar conditions exist, documented warning signs, a firearm in the home, a subsequent school shooting are looking at the Georgia case as a roadmap. Defense attorneys are warning that the conviction sets a precedent that could make parents criminally liable for acts they could not have predicted with certainty. Child advocacy organizations are asking whether criminal prosecution of parents is the right mechanism for addressing the system of signals that consistently precede school shootings and are consistently missed or ignored. There is a thread running through the Appalachee case that was never fully answered at trial, a detail that appeared in the early reporting and that subsequent court proceedings did not fully resolve. The question of what exactly the FBI found in the 2023 interview, how it was documented, and whether the determination to close the investigation without further action was the right call. This matters because if the FBI's assessment in 2023 was that there was insufficient evidence to proceed, and if Colin Gray was present for an interview that reached that conclusion, then his culpability rests not on a parent who was clearly warned by law enforcement that his son was dangerous, but on a parent who was present for an investigation that came to a different conclusion and who may have interpreted that conclusion as absolution, rather than as the preliminary assessment that active federal investigations always represent. The jury heard testimony that allowed it to find, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Gray knew enough. The appeals process will test whether the instructions given to that jury appropriately characterized what knowing enough requires for a murder conviction to stand. Four people died at Appalachee High School on September 4, 2024. Jillian Belladino and Mason Schermerhorn were 14 years old. Richard Aspinwall had spent his career teaching in Georgia schools. Christina Iremai had moved to the United States from Romania and had been teaching math at Appalachee since 2020. They were in a school, doing the ordinary work of education, on a morning that should have been ordinary. The gun that killed them had been purchased legally. The boy who carried it had been interviewed by federal agents 16 months earlier. The father who bought the gun was convicted of their murders. This is the record as it exists. What the record cannot show, what no trial testimony can fully reconstruct, is the interior of the moment in May 2023 when Colin Gray sat across from FBI agents, heard them ask about his son's online statements, watched them close their notebooks, and walked out of that building with his son beside him. What he thought, what he did next, whether he believed the investigation's conclusion, or whether some part of him knew what the investigation's conclusion had not quite captured. The jury decided what they believed he knew. The courts that follow will decide whether that belief was properly grounded in the evidence and the law. What is certain is that the conversation the Gray verdict demands about parental responsibility, about firearm access, about the documented warning signs that precede school shootings and are repeatedly missed, is not one that can be deferred much longer. At what point does knowledge become responsibility? And at what point does responsibility, unmet, become culpability? The jury gave one answer. The country is still working out its own.